I started a series for you men that were going, and those who were here Sunday night, on four hindrances to healing of our land. Four hindrances for healing of our land. If you're there, 2 Chronicles 7:14, say amen. If my people, comma, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. How many of you agree with me? Our land needs healing. We're in an absolute mess. And what we need cannot be legislated. They may think they can legislate it, but they cannot legislate it. They can't legislate a new heart. They can't legislate a new will. Just can't do it. Amen. But I tell you what, if we repent of our sins and trust God, we can have a healing of our land. Now, I'm not going to review other than tell the men that were not here. Just the first point, what I done in this introduction, we went over if my people which are called by my name. By the way, I think the reason we don't have real revival and real healing, we lack real relationship. Let's just be honest about it. There are a lot of folks that says they're saved that's not saved. There's a lot of profession going on, but not much possession going on. Say amen. I'm up to here with that. It's all over this country. That's the same crowd that don't have no church on Sunday night and Wednesday night and don't believe God's needed more in their life. Somebody help me preach. I want you to know something. We need to be in church and we need to hear from God more now than we ever did before. Amen. But tonight I'm going to head in. I'm going to go ahead and just not do a lot of review because I don't even think I'll get past one point. But that's okay. Maybe I'll make some ground up next week. And if I don't, it's fine. But I want you to notice the verse. Look at the verse. I'm going to do an exegesis of this verse, exposition of this verse, and try to explain this verse thoroughly to you and show you four hindrances for healing. If my people, which are called by my name, now notice the first little thought, shall humble themselves. Now, number one hindrance for healing, and let's just say it like it is, pride is an enemy of healing. The Bible said, humble yourself. That word, humble, means to bend the knee. It means to bring down, to place self under another, to relinquish your authority and put it under God's authority. Am I preaching? Now hear me. The word pride means to rise or to swell up. Here's what pride says. I don't need God. I do not need God. I can make my own way. I know best. I'll call the shots in my life. Let's just be honest with you. Let's be honest with each other. That's really where most people are today. We don't need God. We're educated. We're in the know. We're in the click. And we don't need God. But I say this to you, ladies and gentlemen, we need God more today than we've ever needed him before. Now, let me do something, and I'm gonna spend some time. Amen. Now, I'm gonna do something, and I want y'all all to be honest, okay? I took this test, and I was honest with myself. I try to be honest. How can you tell if you have a pride problem? How can you tell if you have a pride problem? Well, I'm going to give you 10 ways you can tell if you have a pride problem. Then I'm going to show you some things about pride. And I probably won't be able to get but one point. But I want to give you this. Number one, you have a pride problem because pride refuses to listen. And always interrupts others. Amen. Listen to me. If you can't listen to God and listen to God's man and fall under the authority of God's man and the word of God, listen to me. You got a pride problem. Amen. Number two, listen, this is real good. Pride likes to talk about itself all the time. I want you to know something. We need less preachers. So let me say this. I'm going to start with me. We need less preachers talking about themselves and their abilities and their ability to manipulate and their ability to say the right thing, to get the crowd to do the right thing. We need less of that and exalting self and more exalting Jesus. Say amen. See, pride likes to talk about itself. And too many times we want to talk about how many achievements we have, and none of us would be successful tonight if it wasn't for God. Am I preaching? Number three, pride has an intense desire to be noticed. You want to know the people that God really uses is the people that doesn't care if they're noticed or not. I want you 21 people that went to Romania to hear something. The world may not have noticed you, and I don't think you went over to be noticed. You went over to be a help. But I want you to know God noticed you. Somebody help me preach. Listen to this. This is good. Number four, are you seeing if you got any pride or not? Pride believes it deserves everything it gets. I want you all to know, I tell you what all of us deserve. We deserve to be burning in hell. We deserve hellfire itself, but thank God for a God that looked beyond our faults and saw our need and delivered us from hell and translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Somebody say amen. Amen. I feel some sense of God helping me. Boy, listen to this. Number five, just gauging myself. Pride's not thankful. I'm going to tell you, I'm a little leery tonight that we're raising a generation of people that are just not thankful. By the way, if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and about the last days, one of them says, and they're not thankful. I tell you what, if you ever really humble yourself, you'll be real thankful for what God done for you. You'll be really appreciated, and it'll all be about him. Boy, this one's a good one. Number six, pride cannot be corrected. I want all you to know something. You can't deal with somebody that's got pride. Just try it. I've had folks that's been under my pastor. Let me tell you what. You can't deal with them because they got too much pride. They think they're smarter than the preacher and smarter than everybody else. Somebody help me preach. Listen to this. Pride does not like to follow instructions. And I'm not talking about the preacher's instructions. Let me just talk about the Bible. That's a lot of people just don't want to follow the Bible. We argue about what version to use. I would really like for us to start saying, I'm not going to say not to worry about the version, but I am saying, why don't you get the version you got, get your nose out of the Facebook, and get your nose in the book. Amen. Am I preaching? Whew. Just don't follow instructions. Amen. Them two teams went over and built those two buildings. They followed instructions. They had a blueprint that one of our men worked on several weeks, And they had a plan and they did it. And it worked because they followed instructions. Am I preaching? Pride exalts itself in the presence of others. It just brags too much. Amen. Yeah, God's blessed this church, but I want to be honest with y'all. I want to tell y'all, y'all know every bit of it's because of him. Yes, I've tried to yield myself. Yes, I want his guidance, but I want you to know something. This church wouldn't be what it was, what it is, if it wasn't for God. Listen to this. I'm almost done with this part. Then I'll give you six more thoughts, and then I'll be done probably with tonight. Maybe not. Are y'all with me? Pride criticizes and tries to make itself look better by putting others down. I want you to know something. You don't have to be better by knocking somebody else. You be better because you pray. You be better because you read the Bible. You be better because you love God. That's what you need to do. Amen. We don't, you know, it bothers me. There's too many of us Christians want to criticize people. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I don't watch much social media because it makes me mad half the time. And Twitter, sometimes I like to just blow that thing right off the map. Because all it is a bunch of preachers criticizing other preachers. And that's all they do. Amen. And I'll probably get on Twitter tonight after this. And here's pride, number 10. Are you looking at your life? Pride thinks of its own needs. It's all about me. It'd be a great day in your life that you get real joy. And you know what real joy is? It's Jesus first and others second and yourself last. Somebody's this always thinking about me, always wanting my way, always it has to be this way. Come on, help me preach. By the way, believe it or not, there's other people got good ideas too. Amen. I've had people in this church help me. I wasn't clear about something that helped me. And you said, what'd you do? I received it. Amen. Amen. You young preacher, you better hear me. You may think us older guys are dinosaurs and we're not up to snuff, but I want you to know something. There's something about having God in your heart, and it might be well for you to still love the old preacher. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Now I'm going to give you six things about pride, scriptural now. I'm going to deal right from the scripture, not just a list of things that I came up with. But now let me give you six things about pride. It said, for my people would humble themselves, right? What's the opposite, Jeff, of humility? Pride. Now, number one, the deceptiveness of pride. Now, I like to say this about pride. It's like a stealth sin. You might not be in adultery, but you sure can be in pride. You may not be using drugs or alcohol or anything else, but you can be eaten up with pride because it's that underlining attitude. Am I preaching? You say, I want revival. I want God to heal our land. Then humble yourself. Come down off your ledge. Now, if you got a pen, you can write this. I don't think Josh got, I don't think he got on the PowerPoint. I don't believe so. So I'll just go through these for you. Not only the deceptiveness of pride, but write this down. The danger of pride. Proverbs 16:15. Everyone that is proud in heart, listen to this, is an abomination to the Lord. He said homosexuality was an abomination to the Lord. There's other sins he called the abomination to the Lord. But ladies and gentlemen, our stinking rotten pride is an abomination to God. God hates it. Go to Proverbs 6 where it says seven things the Lord hates, or six things the Lord hates, and seven is abomination. And he starts out with a proud look. Amen. Well, preacher, I've got more education. I'm smarter than you. And what? There's a lot of people smarter than me. I just be honest with you. My mama said I wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. I believed her, too. But listen to this. Thirdly, the depravity of pride. It's real depraved. Proverbs 21 and 4 says, a high look and a proud heart. You can't be more depraved than think you're something. You got a big old high look about you. And there's churches all over this country with pastors and church members. You want to know why we ain't having revival? They're so proud. And so, they got such a high look. I know I'm going to get in trouble with that. I might as well go ahead and dive in. There's a movement right now, and I know they're going to, maybe I shouldn't say it because they're going to come after me on social media tomorrow, but that's, I guess it's all right. The Calvinistic movement. There's not a more prideful, arrogant movement than them. Because they believe this, they're the elect. I'm the elect because I received the elect Christ. Yes, I am. And I make my election sure. There was a day I repented of my sin. The gospel came to me. And with real responsibility, I trusted it. But to make this statement, God loves some people, but he hates other people. And God wants some people to go to heaven, but everybody else he wants to go to hell is the most arrogant, prideful, unscriptural thing you could say. I still believe whosoever will. I still believe he will have all men to be saved. They said God don't will all men to be saved. Well, read 1 Timothy 2:4. He will have all men to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. And we get any doctrine in our church that centers on pride, it is false doctrine. Real doctrine humbles us. I tell them, bunch, listen to me. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe you've got to be drawn by the Holy Spirit. I believe God's got to bring it. But I also do believe you can resist it and reject it and die and go to hell. Amen. Just so depraved. This new intellectual crowd. Come on, help me. They wouldn't shout if they set on attack. By the way, you want to see somebody that goes away from what we believe and goes into Calvinism and one of those things? I want you to know what happens immediately is you see that they die spiritually and they lose the power of the Holy Ghost. Just look at them. Am I preaching? I didn't mean to get off on that tangent. But this one's the one I really wanted to spend some time on. Number four, are y'all writing this down? Amen. Not only deceptiveness of pride is a self sin, the danger of pride, everyone that's proud of heart is an abomination to the Lord, the bravery of pride, a high look and a proud heart, but also the division of pride. Proverbs 13:10, listen to this. Only by pride cometh contention. Now, let's talk a minute. Pride, it divides Christian homes. It divides families. And I want you to look at me. Your family might not be perfect. Your dad might not be perfect. Your father-in-law might be not perfect. Your mother-in-law might not be perfect. But I want to tell you, they're a part of your family, and it's good to respect each other in the family. And I want you to know something. You know why a lot of families don't get right with each other? It's because there's too much pride, and it brings contention. It not only divides homes, it divides churches. Let me ask you something. When's the last time, really, really, you saw a church split over doctrine? Not very often. Now, I'm not going to say that. There are some, but not very often. No. Most church splits is because the people got pride and they choose preferences over real standards and real conviction. Amen. You know, our little stupid preferences, we've made them almost like God. Someone help me preach. And I will say this, there's some good traditions and there's some bad traditions. Am I preaching? You want to know why churches split? It's because a bunch of people are prideful and they don't have enough humility to come together and say, we're all wicked, we're all sinful, we need God. You know why most churches are inept and have no power? There's too much pride and too much contention, and there's too many little small little cliques. I tell you what, everybody in our church ought to be important. It ought not be based on income. It ought not be based on education or location or materialism. It ought to be based on we love each other. Am I helping you? Also, thirdly, it divides this country. I'll tell you what. And I don't have to tell you this, you already know it. But this country has never been more divided than it is tonight. And it's over stinking, rotten pride. Come on now. Can you make rational what I'm about to say? How can a person believe in killing 1.27 million babies a year, yet don't believe in capital punishment for those that deserve capital punishment? Ain't no way to understand that but by pride. And let me tell you something. Don't try to come to me and tell me that that baby with inside somebody is a fetus. It is a person. Sierra, are you having a girl? Girl. That's a girl child. In the Bible, it talks about man children. Somebody help me preach. And it's rotten pride for anybody to say, I am going to decide human life. Amen. Boy, good preaching, Reverend. See, we're at each other's throat in this country. I tell you why we're at each other's throat. We got too much pride, and we're too rotten. Amen. And that's why there's so much contention. That's why we have so many aggravations with one another. If we ever humble ourselves and say, here's what we really are. Number five. I'll finish with it. Point one's all I'm getting. I really want to get point two, but I'd rather y'all say verses. It's good. The dishonoring of pride. Listen to this. Proverbs 11:2 says this, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. There ain't nothing more shameful than a proud, arrogant person. It's shameful. It's just shameful. Look at us. What do we have to brag about? Amen. We were shapen in iniquity and sin did our mother conceive us. We didn't understand God. We were separated from God. We were wicked as it could be. Amen. Number six, you hear this, the destruction of pride. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and the Holy Spirit before a fall. I see a lot of people that are on their way to destruction. Their homes are on their way to destruction. Their life's on their way to destruction. And it could be completely, it does not have to happen. But I'll tell you why it happens. They get that stubborn, stiff-necked feeling that they are not wrong. You know what a bunch of us ought to do tonight? And I'm going to close in a minute. We ought to just get around the altar tonight and just say, man, I got too much of that stuff in me. It's caused me a lot of problems. Amen. I remember a story, and I'll end up with the illustration story. How many of you, of course, some of you young'uns won't remember him, but I did. I remember Muhammad Ali. Now, a lot of things about him I did not like. But this one is the particular one. He really gives us a great example of pride. He was on an airplane one day and standing up in the aisle. You know how he was. He was talking, laughing, and entertaining everybody. And the stewardess came up to him and tried to get him to get back in his seat. Said, Mr. Ali, you have to take your seat and fasten your seatbelt because this plane's about ready to take off. And here's what he said. Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she looked at him, and I wrote this down pretty good. I like this. And she said, yeah, and Superman doesn't need an airplane, but sit down and buckle up. And let me tell you something. Couples, and there may be couples in here, you're having problems with each other. Won't you admit what your problem is? You got too much pride to say I'm wrong, either one of you. Come on now. I wonder how many of us really ought to just say, whether we got any pride or not, wouldn't it be a good idea to come up here and humbly worship him a minute and praise him? And if you got a little bit of that pride, just say, God, remove that from me. I want your best, and I want to give you glory. I wonder how many of us just slip out. Maybe couples and young people just slip out. Stand with me. I'm praying, Lois, you come and sing the appropriate song like you always do. And just come around. And if you ain't got none of that, it's all right. Just humble yourself. We need some folk to humble themselves and pray. Our Father, Lord, thank you tonight for your good word. Lord, we just started preaching this series. It spoke to me, Lord. Lord, you remove that junk from me. In this next 12 days, Lord, help me not to try to make this meeting the way I think it ought to be. But Lord, I want to make this meeting the way you want it to be. And right now, Lord, I'm going to do my best to commit to you and vow to you the best I can that it's yours, Lord. You're in control. You're the boss. Lord, I'm so inferior. I got so many problems. I can't do it on my own. You know all the needs of this meeting. You know the preachers will be coming that are getting ready to quit. Oh God, I pray you touch. Humble ourselves. Lord, any couples here tonight getting ready to split just because of pride. They can't acknowledge that they're at fault. God, deal with them. Lord, deal with it. Bring real revival. Bring the touch on this place. Lord, I'm yielding myself to you. I want all your will in my life. I'm not satisfied with a little. I want your complete will and your complete direction. Thank you again for what you've done tonight. And we love you. Yes, Jesus.